Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, we read the following. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses, my servant, is dead. Is he dead to you? Is Moses dead to you, or are you still serving him? Are you still serving under the law that Moses brought? Do you still seek to make yourself right before God by the works of the law? Or by some works of your own righteousness? Is your approach unto God, is your perception of how God views you, based upon your works, your deeds? Are you still under the bondage of the law in your heart? Whatever you may say doctrinally regarding it, whether you say, no, Christ died for me, Christ delivered me from my sins, Christ spared me the judgment and condemnation of the law, I am now in Christ, I've been delivered from the law, from the curse of the law. Whether you may say that, in practice, in experience, in your heart, do you still approach unto God? Do you still walk before God, bound by conscience to the law? Do you still feel that when you walk right, God is more pleased with you? And when you fail, God's condemnation is against you? Is your walk before God one as a servant, one who must serve according to the law, according to works, one who will be rewarded when you serve well, and one who feels condemnation and anger and wrath when you fail? Is your relationship with God that of a servant? Or is your relationship with God that of a son? As one who has been delivered from the servitude of law, as one whose conscience is freed from the condemnation of law, as one who knows the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and as one who knows that God views you as a believer, not as one who is under law, not as one who must attain to a certain standard or level every day, but as one who is accepted in the Beloved in Christ, as one who is viewed as righteous and perfect in Christ, every day, without fail, without exception. On the days when you keep from sin, God looks upon you as perfect in Christ. On the days when you fall first thing, and when you let yourself down, and rise up in anger against another, on the days when you're frustrated and you doubt and you fear, when trouble comes and you don't run to God first thing, on the days when you look back on that day and say, I've had a miserable day, if you're Christ's, God looks upon you in Christ as a son without condemnation. His love for you is the same every day, because he does not look and treat you according to your deeds. Because in Christ, if you know him, if you know his salvation, if you know the application of his blood, in Christ you have been delivered from your sins. His blood has paid the price. He has washed them all away. And God will never look at those sins again. He'll never bring them up before him to say that you must pay the price again. When Christ died for his people, he died for their sins, past, present and future. They were all blotted out. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses' ministry was to bring the law before God's people. And the reason God sent that law was not that that people should be justified by it. Not that that law should be that which makes them right. Not that they should remain under that law. But that law was given that they, through the law, might have the knowledge of sin. That they, by that law and the Spirit's application of that law to them, might discover what they are by nature before a holy God. That law is given to us, as it's made known in the preaching of the gospel, as the Spirit begins to work in the gospel at the beginning of the gospel. He, as it were, brings that law to us to show us what we are and our need to be delivered from our sins. Because all men are sinners, you and me included. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All are dead in trespasses and sins. We're all guilty. But in our natural state, we're blind to it. In our natural state, we have shut our ears to God and his truth. And we have not given him one thought. And we have no idea of where we stand before a holy God. Naturally, we think we're fine. Whatever our understanding of religion, whether we've heard anything of the Bible or none of the Bible, whether we've been brought up to go to church and hear the Word of God read, or whether we've never set foot in one church or ever opened the Bible, naturally we are blind to these things. And we are apathetic about our own state. But God would have us to know what we are. That we are guilty before him. That we are fallen, that we are rebels, that we hate him with our hearts, that we serve ourselves. We hate men and we hate God. We hate those that cross our paths. We hate those that annoy us. We hate those who are against us. We love not our neighbor as ourselves and we love not God. We're guilty. And when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God sent that law by Moses to that people, written in tablets of stone, that that people might learn what they are, that they might learn how high the glory of God is, how holy their God is, and how weak, how base, how sinful they are. That law came to them as a ministry, a ministration of condemnation. It utterly condemned them. When Moses came down from Sinai carrying that law and read them out to the people, read out those 10 commands to the people said, all that the Lord has commanded, that we will do. And they never did one thing that the Lord commanded rightly. However much they might conform in the outward fashion. They might attempt to keep the Sabbath holy. They might attempt to worship God and none other gods. They might attempt to keep from adultery or covetousness. And they might make a show of righteousness externally, but in their hearts each and every day, every one of them broke it, and everyone ever since has broken it. You and me. We have covetous hearts, idolatrous hearts, selfish hearts, wicked and sinful hearts, and the condemnation of the law comes straight down upon us with its awful penalty of death. When Adam in the garden sinned, sin entered that innocent and perfect world that God had created, and death by sin, because the consequence of sin is death. And when the law comes and discovers our sin, it brings down the condemnation of God's perfect righteousness and justice upon it, which is death. The wages of sin is death. Why do we die? And why will we go to an awful eternity in utter condemnation in hell if we remain in our sins? It is because the wages of sin is death. That's all our sin has brought us. That's all our selfish deeds have brought us. And that's all the ministration of condemnation by the law of Moses will bring us to. It will bring us to death. It's a ministration not of life, not of salvation, not of grace or forgiveness or mercy. It's unflinching in its condemnation. It's unflinching in its demands of us. We must obey, we must live according to its terms, continually, absolutely, every day, without fail. And none of us even begin to, therefore its condemnation comes upon us. It's a ministration of death. And those who are under its rule are simply servants. And those who put themselves under its rule put themselves under hard labour, hard service, and bring themselves back under condemnation. But at the beginning of the book of Joshua, the Lord speaks unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Joshua succeeded Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. But whereas Moses is referred to as my servant, Joshua is referred to as the son of Nun. Nun, the name Nun, meaning continuation. He's the son of continuation, or the son without beginning and without end. Joshua here is a picture of Christ, Jesus, Joshua, our Joshua, God's Saviour. For that's what Joshua means as a name, God's Saviour, God's anointed Saviour, Jesus Christ, the anointed Saviour of God, Joshua. Christ is without beginning and without end. He is eternal. Eternally the Son of God. He ever was and ever will be, and ever was in the position of being the Son of God. The Son. And here Joshua in type and figure is spoken of as the Son of Nun, the Son of continuity, the Son of continuation, the eternal Son. Not a servant, but a Son. And his ministry is greatly contrasted with the ministry of Moses. Moses led the people as servants under law, and that ministry brought them under condemnation. And Moses never entered into that land which was promised, the promised land which was promised to the people. Spiritually he would when he went to be with God in glory, but in the type and figure in this world he never entered with the people. And he never entered because of that condemnation that the law brought upon his head. And there were countless numbers amongst that people, a generation that never entered with him, because they sought to enter by law, by works, by their own righteousness. And if we seek to enter into heaven's glory, into that promised eternity, that promised inheritance for God's people in Christ, if we think that we will enter into that glory, it will not be by our works or our righteousness. We will perish in the wilderness as Moses and that people did. Moses, my servant, is dead. But Joshua, the son of Nun, was anointed and commanded to arise and to go over Jordan through that river of death with his people, thou and all this people, unto the land which God gave to them, even to the children of Israel. His ministry is completely contrasted. It's not a ministry of condemnation. It's not a ministry of law. It's a ministry of salvation, of life, of righteousness, of grace. He actually took the people through into the land. He led them through the sea, thou and all this people. That sea, that river of Jordan, he led them through it as a picture of death. He led his people through death. Into life, into the promised land. Joshua the son of Nun, Christ the son of God, the eternal son of God, Jesus. What a difference there is in the ministry. Jesus saves. He saves. He doesn't command salvation. He doesn't tell you what to do if you would be saved. He doesn't say, you must do all these commands. And if you do, then I will give you this, as Moses did. But Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And he tells us to do nothing but to look and follow him. He does it all. He brings in the righteousness which we need to stand before a holy God. He comes unto a people condemned by Moses' law, utterly without strength, without righteousness, sinful through and through, and no longer condemns them, but says that I will make you to be the righteousness of God in me. And I will take your sins and your iniquities, and I will take them upon my back, and I will take the stripes of condemnation upon my back for you. I will pay the price that you must pay. You are guilty, but I will take your guilt. You are condemned, but I will, and I have taken your condemnation. I've taken it in total. I've taken all of it, and I've taken it with me down into the valley of death. I have been slain for you. I have taken your sin and the judgment of God against you and taken it upon me that you might be spared, and that in me that you might go through this Jordan into the land which God has given you. I've done this freely for you. And God has given you this land. You have not earned it. You've not bought it. But he has given it to you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, the Lord says, as I said unto Moses. Christ leads his people into this land. And he leads them as the Son of God, the Son of Nun, Joshua, the Son of God. He leads them in, and he leads them in as a people united to him. No longer God's servants, but God's sons. Adopted as sons. Treated as sons. Treated as sons as he is a son. One with him. Sons. Do you know his ministry? Do you know what it is to walk with Joshua, Jesus Christ? Or are you still walking, following Moses? Do you know what it is to approach unto God the Father through Christ, Joshua? Or do you still seek to serve God the Father through the law of Moses by your own righteousness and works? Moses must be dead before you'll ever set one foot on the other side of Jordan. You'll never pass through death into eternal life until Moses' work is done. And yet there are so many professing Christians who make a profession of believing on Jesus, and yet who are still serving Moses. And just as that countless multitude amongst Israel professed to serve God and thought that they would make it into Canaan's shores, they perished in the wilderness because they were condemned by law and they sought to serve God by law. And so many who claim to serve Jesus and think they're going to glory will find that they never pass through Jordan dry shod. They'll find that when they enter that river of death, that unlike the children of Israel who went through with Joshua and the waters never touched them, because he was a picture of Christ who had taken that judgment, those waters upon himself, and spared them the judgment. These professors of Jesus, these professors of Christ, who still serve God by works, or by their will, or in their strength, will find that when they step into Jordan's shores, that water overflows them. That water drowns them, and that they find it condemns them. And it is a water of death, eternal death to them. What a state to be in. What a state to reach, to walk, to live as though you serve God, thinking you are right with God. But to spend your life serving Him by the works of the law, by your own strength and righteousness. And to find that Moses was never dead to you and Joshua was never truly alive to you. You spake of one called Jesus, but it was never this Son, never this eternal Son, never this one who brought a ministry of grace, because you were ever alive to Moses and his works. And when you stepped into Jordan, it slew you. Oh, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the condemnation of God's law. Don't be fooled to mix law with grace, to mix works with faith. It will utterly condemn you. Salvation is by grace and grace alone from start to finish, and it does not truly begin until in your experience, in your heart, you can say that to you, Moses, God's servant, is dead. And now you rise up and follow with Christ Joshua, and he has led you forth. He has led you over Jordan dry shod. Dry shod, the waters haven't touched you because he died in your place, because he took the condemnation, because he paid the price, because all that law was met upon Christ. And there is nothing more for you to do in respect of it. You've been delivered from it. You are dead to it. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I have been delivered from the law by the body of Christ. When he died in my place, I was delivered from it, delivered from its condemnation, from its curse, from its rule. I am in Christ, walking through Jordan dry shod, in the inheritance of the world to come, alive in him, under grace. Is that where you are, and can you say it and rejoice in it? Or does your legal spirit rise up and say, yes, but surely I must use the law of Moses. Surely the Ten Commandments must rule my life. Surely I should be up and doing. Is Moses still alive to you? Well, I tell you that Joshua's ministry, Christ's ministry, will only begin in reality in your soul when in your experience you have passed through the ministry of Moses, when it has slain you and condemned you and left you bankrupt before God without any strength, knowing that your works, your will and your righteousness will do nothing to save you. And you're left on the banks of Jordan crying out for God's mercy. And only then will Joshua come your way and lift you up and call you by name and lead you. And he will go, thou and all this people, through Jordan unto the land which God has given unto him and his people. You, if you know him. Do you know him? His ministry only begins when Moses is dead, when Moses' work has been completed. Whilst Moses is still alive to you and you're still alive to Moses, there will be no being led by Joshua. Whatever you may say, Moses must be dead to you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Can you say it? Can you say it? Can you say that Joshua, Jesus, is your all? That Moses had his work. That the law rightly condemned you. You were guilty. You could not live up to it. You ought to have. But it slew you. And left you in the grave. And left you crying out for a saviour. One who could make you righteous. One who could fulfil the law's demands for you. One who could answer its demands. One who could take away the judgment and the curse. One who could make you right before a holy God. One who could wash you clean. One who could save your soul. Moses must be dead. His body must be laid in the grave. You're still looking for that law. Still looking for Moses' body. His burial place, then you're still under that law and still condemned by it. That's why in the book of Jude we read of Michael the archangel disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, over the law. Because the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of God's people, loves to bring God's law. He loves to come with a railing accusation. He loves to come in their hearts and their conscience and dispute and say unto God's people, ah, but the law says, and ah, but shouldn't you do what it says here? And he brings that law and he brings it in their conscience and he brings it to condemn them. And they, troubled by him, feel his accusations and know that what the law says is right. But Michael the archangel brought no railing accusation. He rebuked the devil and his accusation, and he rebuked him by saying that Moses, my servant, is dead, and his body is laid in the grave, and his body, the law, the body of work that came by Moses, that which God sent by him, is in the grave, because it was nailed to the cross upon which my son died, upon which Joshua, Jesus, was slain. That law was nailed to the cross. And all its condemnation of my people was nailed to that cross. And when my son died and took away the judgment and answered every command of that law and every judgment of God against that people, he nailed the commandments which were against us and nailed them to the tree and took them into the grave. And that law and Moses and his body is in the grave, and there it lies, and it will never be brought up again, and it will never be brought up to accuse my people again. They are delivered, they are saved, they are spared. But if we're taken in by the accusations of Satan, if we're taken in by the accuser and turn again to the law and turn again to our strength and our efforts to keep it, then all we find is that it slays us again. All we find is a burden and a condemnation in our spirit. We look to return to it, to keep it alive. We're trying to keep the body of Moses, the law, alive. But God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And what we find of that law, that which we think we will live and drink by, people say it's a rule of life, that by which you can live. Well, you live by bread and water. You live by that which you eat, and if you try to drink or eat of the law, if you try to drink of the waters of the law, you will find that it is not the waters of life. It is not the water of life that comes by Christ and his gospel. It is not that water that came out of the rock that led the people forth in the wilderness when God led them. It is not that water by which they live. But it is the bitter waters of Meribah. Bitter waters which will slay you, condemn you. It promises life, but it brings death. It's poison. There may be water there, but it's poisoned water. It will slay you. This is why when Moses in Numbers 20 was frustrated by the complaints and the grumbling of the people, this is why he in his frustration and his anger with them struck the rock twice and the water came forth. That rock from which water had come, that rock from which they had drunk, he struck it twice. And the Lord's anger was kindled against him. Why? Because in striking that rock, which is Christ, twice, he was bringing the condemnation upon Christ and his people again. And yet they had been delivered from that condemnation. And to put people under law again, when they have been delivered from it by Christ in his gospel, is to bring them under condemnation again, is to cause them to perish in the wilderness. In Numbers 20 verse 7 it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." They struck the rock when they were not commanded to strike it. They were commanded to speak unto the rock before their eyes, and that rock would give them forth water. They were commanded to go unto Christ, as it were, and pray unto them that he should feed his people. They were commanded to preach Christ and his gospel to that people, that they might have water of life from Christ. But instead they struck the rock twice. They brought the condemnation of the law against that rock, against Christ. And in so doing, they were striking that people in Christ again. He'd already been struck. He'd already taken the condemnation for them, that he might deliver them from the law's wrath. And yet in striking it twice, this is a picture of bringing that law again, bringing it unto us again, trying to bring water to a people by law. If you think you will live by law, you will find it slays you. It is not a rule of life, it is a rule of death. By the law came the condemnation of death against us, by which Christ then stood in our place and brought it upon himself, that we might be spared it. That law was poured out in condemnation on him instead of his people, as he stood as their substitute. But to bring that law again, once they have been delivered from its judgment, is to put yourself back under its condemnation, back under wrath, is to drink the waters of Meribah, is to drink that which is poison. We're dead to the law. We're delivered from it. We're not under law, but under grace. We're in Christ. Moses, my servant, is dead. And in Christ, our Joshua doesn't leave us in the wilderness, but he brings his people into the promised land. That land that the Father gives unto him and that people is theirs. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He's a Saviour. He doesn't demand that you do to be saved. He doesn't make conditions upon which his salvation is earned. But he comes to those who are helpless and weak and lost. Those who are broken in the wilderness by the law. Those who are condemned. Those who cannot attain to righteousness. Those who feel the weight and burden and guilt of their sin. Those who cry out to God in poverty, Lord, save me. Have mercy upon me. He comes unto such as these. Is that you? If it is, he comes unto such as you in the wilderness. And he picks you up and he leads you through Jordan, dry shod, and he brings you into a land which God has given him and you, even unto the children of Israel. A land, an inheritance, given to a people, not to all men, not to any who will choose it, but given to the children of Israel, a people whom God has chosen to save, a people whom God has chosen to deliver from their sins, a people whom he has chosen in Joshua, in Christ, to have that inheritance which is theirs because of the death of Christ on their behalf. When Christ died, his last will and testament was read out, and that testament says that all his goods will be theirs, and those goods are that land which God has promised them, that inheritance, and it's theirs, and no one can take it away from them, and it's only theirs. Only those who are named in the will and testament, only those whose names are written in the covenant have the right to the inheritance. If a family member dies and leaves his or her goods to their children, it is only those named children or those named people in that will who can have what they leave. It is given to those and none else. And God's covenant is written. It's written with names of the children of Israel. And those who are named in that covenant are given the inheritance of eternal life. A land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land, Canaan. It's theirs. It's theirs, never to be taken away. And it's only theirs. It's not theirs if they claim it. It's not there for anyone to come and claim or anyone to pay a price for. But it's theirs as an inheritance given to those whom God has named in his covenant. Are you one of them? Has he come unto you in his gospel in mercy and said unto you that you are one of my children? And you have a great inheritance which I have given unto you. And I have given because I have slain my son on your behalf, that your sins might be washed away and that you in him may have eternal life. Have you heard those words? Has he come to you in his gospel in power and said that thou art mine? Mine. And this is your land. You are one of my people. Or are you still serving Moses? Is the only voice you hear the voice of the condemnation against your sins? Joshua brings in for his people life forevermore. A great inheritance for thou and this people. They are one with him. They are united unto him. They are one with their Saviour. God says unto him that I will give it to them. You and all this people will go through Jordan into this land that I to give to them. You're one with them. You're a son and their sons with you. You are mine and they are your bride. You are united. He is the bridegroom of his bride, his people. He is the vine and they are his branches. They are one. They are fruitful together. As one, they bring forth fruit. I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I'm dead to the law that I might bring forth fruit unto God. Because fruitfulness comes because I'm one with Christ. And it never came when I was a servant under the law. It's grace. It's being one with Christ. Well, are you? Believer, are you? What are you? Are you a son or a servant? Are you under grace or are you under law? Are you walking by faith, entirely by faith, or by works? Are you mixing grace with law? Are you mixing faith with works? Are you one with Joshua? Or are you a servant under Moses' law? It's one or the other. You can't mix them. You can't serve Joshua and Moses. You can't serve Moses and Joshua. You can't go back to Moses once you've come to Joshua. When Joshua's ministry began, Moses, my servant, was dead. You cannot go back to him. You can go looking for his bones and his body, but it will just bring you under condemnation. You'll find water that is the water of bitterness. It will slay you. It will poison you. It's one or the other. Then what are you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you walking with? Are you a servant? Or are you, in Christ, a son? A son who's been brought into an inheritance that will never be taken away. Brought in because Christ died for his people and rose again with them on the third day. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. In 3 days they'd enter through Jordan. And when Christ went to the cross with his people, he said unto them, in 3 days we will enter into a land. He was slain. They were slain with him, crucified with him. All their sins were taken away and blotted out. He and they were laid in the grave, dead. The law had no more to say to them. As it were, Moses was laid in the grave, never to be brought up again, and his law. And on the third day, they rose up with Joshua their saviour and went through to possess that land, their inheritance. And they enter in with him into eternal glory. And that's where we will be with him in the end, when we pass from this world into the next, when our life is brought to a conclusion. Because of what he did in those 3 days, what he did on the cross, what happened when we rose with him on that third day. Because of that, we will enter in into eternal glory when our day is brought, when our days are brought to a close, when our life is ended, when we die, as it were, and enter into eternity. If we're in Christ, if Joshua has been our leader, if we've been wed to him, if he's been our husband, our saviour, our guide, our kinsman, our lover, our God, our Lord, our King, if he has been our all in all, if we are united to him, one with him, loved by him, if he has delivered us from the condemnation of the law and of Moses' ministry, if we have known his ministry of righteousness, of life, of salvation, if he is our bridegroom, if he is our Saviour, then when we enter into eternity, we will go not into that place of condemnation, not to that place where God will send all those who never knew him, but we will be greeted with a well done. Enter into rest. Enter into thy rest prepared for thee. Enter into those mansions prepared for thee. Because my son loved you. He loved you when you were lost. He loved you when you were in darkness. He loved you when you were a rebel. He loved you when you heard the gospel and shut your ears to it. He loved you when you resisted. He loved you when you were put under law and knew its condemnation. He loved you when you were broken by it. He loved you when you were in despair. He loved you when from despair you cried out to me. He loved you when I heard you and answered you. He loved you when I brought you to look upon him, the Lamb of God slain in your behalf. He loved you when your eyes were opened and you cried out and said, "This is my God and my Saviour." When you saw the blood pouring from his side, when you saw yourself cleansed, he loved you when he cleansed you in that river. He loved you when he led you forth through your pilgrimage. And I love you now, my good and faithful servant, my son, the bride of Christ, I love you now as you enter into glory. Will that be your end? Will that be the voice you hear when your days here are numbered? Will you be with Joshua? Will you be laid in the grave with Moses? Moses, my servant, is dead. But now, therefore, arise, Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Praise God. Amen.